Chairman Fraser, thanks for joining us on FSRN. You spoke with President Obama and asked him to protect the rights of the Lakota people, their sacred sites, and the waters of the Missouri River. How did your conversation go?
You know, I was a little hopeful, but I guess I kind of got what I expected. You know, court cases proceeding. One of the things he assured me is that he is going to continue the consultation process, which three agencies put in place. And he's reviewing the statutories, all the laws. So that was good, because I think that's important that the laws that govern oil pipeline are followed. So I'm happy that he is assuring us that he will be reviewing them laws.
Monday, the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux, Dave Archambeau, sent a letter to U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch asking the Justice Department to investigate the use of force and militarization of the police response against Native American pipeline opponents and their supporters. Did this issue come up with the president? And what are your thoughts about the tactics used to suppress the protests?
Yeah, that's one of the points that I brought up to him is the civil rights violations and the brutality of the police. And he assured me there are federal monitors on site. And I think that's really important. You know, I was out to the camp this weekend, and on Saturday, they were arresting the protectors as they were complying with the order of disperse. And as they were walking from the site back to the camp is when the police went and arrested them. And to me, why? You know, they were complying with their order of dispersing. And so it's really disappointing. And right now, that is my immediate concern, the safety of the people who are up at the camp.
You say the president mentioned there were federal monitors on the site?
Well, I don't know who the monitors are. I know, like Chairman Archambeau, I've written a letter about 3 weeks ago, and I was called by the FBI that there was a representative from the Department of Justice that went to the site and to the camp, and they asked me to come up with names of our members to visit with them. And as a matter of fact, we have a tribal member who was bitten by one of them attack dogs back on Labor Day. And but I wasn't able to be there. Our people said that they were kind of disappointed a little bit because when they met with the DOJ representative, the FBI was there, and he was just asking for names of individuals versus, you know, listening to the story. So because that's something that's really going on. The local media is really characterizing the protectors as violent people, thieves, and which is not true at all. I've been there in the evenings, you know, everybody's praying, singing, and, you know, and it's, you know, good atmosphere. So I do know the local media in North Dakota is really just blowing things way out of proportion.
Chairman Fraser, videos recorded during interactions between protesters and police reveal scenes reminiscent of the civil rights battles of the 1960s. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I don't think the people in North Dakota's attitudes have changed for the last 100 years. It really shows that they're still there, the hatred's still there towards Indian people. I visited with the U.S. Attorney's Office here about 2-3 weeks ago, and I asked him point blank, I said, how can a non-Indian physically assault an Indian and get away with it? And I was referring to when the Dapple security, you know, I've seen videos where they threw people down, you know, and they turned the dogs loose. And his response was, well, it's on state land. So I said, oh, so does that mean if a non-Indian comes to an Indian on Indian land, the Indian could do it back? Oh, no. He said, you go to jail. So my conclusion that only in America where a non-Indian could physically assault an Indian person and get away with it. And that's really a shame on our country.
Members of the Standing Rock Sioux have now set up another camp, this one on land they say is rightfully theirs under the 1851 Laramie Treaty and directly in the path of the pipeline. What's the status?
Yes, they are still there. You know, I think with the recent treatment by the police officers, you know, escalated our the people at the camp to take such a stance. I mean, they're getting tired of being physically assaulted, mistreated. And I think, you know, I say it like this, you know, our grandfathers didn't need a piece of paper to determine where they live. And I think that I admire their courage, their bravery. And, you know, that's just, you know, it is getting attention. So hopefully, you know, we could get more positive, you know, looking at more positive, you know, to show the commitment that they have in protecting clean water. Because we definitely need, you know, more people to wake up and see.
Finally, what else do you want our listeners to understand about the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline?
Well, you know, I think it's important for everyone to know that it's just not an Indian issue. It's an issue that involves all of us. It doesn't matter where you come from, the race, because at some point, you know, we're all drinking the same water, and that water is life, and you need to have it to be healthy and to live a long life. So I've been saying that it is a human issue, not just an Indian issue, and it's sad that back home locally, that's what it's being portrayed at. If you're an Indian, you're against oil, and if you're not, you're for oil. And that's really not the case. You know, I you know, want to just emphasize that it is a human issue.
That's Cheyenne River Sioux Chairman Harold Frazier. He joined us by phone just hours after meeting with President Obama. Nell Abram, FSRN.